Rebel Yell Podcast on the Triblive High School Sports Network. Only a couple weeks left for some teams that are in smaller sections, and by smaller, I mean team size, not classification. Really, probably a week, a little over a week left. Some of the bigger sections still have 3, 4, 5 games remaining, but, you know, blink in this regular season will be in the books. We'll be talking WPIL softball playoffs. And one of the teams to beat in Class A, it's a broken record, but every year they are a legit contender for a district championship. It's the Chartiers Houston Buccaneers. They are our WPIL softball team of the week, and their outstanding head coach, Tricia Alderson, is kind enough to join us. We were just having a lengthy discussion about this, that, and the other thing before we even got started. I'll get the stuff, the bad stuff that you don't want to talk about, out of the way first. So I'm reading, I told you, of all the years I've known you, I didn't realize how good of a pitcher you were. I knew you were a pretty good athlete back in the day. You at one time had a 25-game win streak. You threw 13 no-hitters, 10 one-hitters, two hitters. You were a dominant force back in the day, to be honest, when pitchers really dominated the game of softball. How do you think, first of all, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. How
do you think you, if you could, you know, go in the, one of those little time machines, how do you think you would do as a pitcher nowadays with, you know, the rubber back a little more and the emphasis more on offense nowadays?
I don't know. I mean, that's hard to say because it was so long ago. But I mean, obviously, I pitched from 43 feet in college. So I guess that probably wouldn't have been too big of an issue. But the bats are so lively these days, and it's just different. I mean, there's so much better training for the girls and equipment. And we were actually just talking about this with our oldest daughter the other day, and she was asking, well, you know, how do you think this team that you have now would stack up against, you know, she was naming years, and we were just like, well, it's hard because it's different eras and things are different. But I mean, I'd like to think that I would be okay, you know, and competitive. I had a good defense behind me as well, so. And a really good catcher. So that, you know, those things made all the difference in the world.
Well, you hit on a couple of things as far as the evolution of the game, mm-hmm. the training, the, you know, these young women are in so much better shape now than they were before. The emphasis on offense. And because of that, the emphasis on defense too.
Right. And I mean, dominating pitchers are still, you know, out there, sure. And they're still pretty dominating, but over the last 10 to 15 years, I mean, most of the changes that have been made have been to benefit the offense. So, you know, like moving the mound back and, you know, being able to use, like I said, more lively bat.
Right.
And the balls are, you know, different. They fly a little bit better nowadays. And, you know, I think all of those things were changes made, especially for the offense, because it made the game more exciting. I mean, I personally still like the low scoring pitcher's duel. Like, I don't know, probably because I was a pitcher, but I like watching those. I like, you know, being involved in them, obviously when we're on the winning side of them, but, I don't know. I guess I'm just more traditional that way. But, I mean, I'll take runs any way we can get them.
Well, yeah, and I hear you. I understand exactly what you're saying, especially with you being a former pitcher. But to me, as just strictly a fan of the sport, mm-hmm. having covered it for decades now and just seeing the changes and what the game's morphed into, it's a much more entertaining product.
Yeah, and I also think, too, like, so many good, and I don't just mean, like, high school or around here. I mean, just so many good former players who played at such a high level are coaching or are, right, you know, they have softball schools or facilities, and, you know, they're doing that, where, you know, back in my day, that didn't happen, you know, that wasn't happening because it just hadn't evolved yet. So there's, and I mean, that's another huge change. Like when I first started coaching, which I'm saying, like, I guess I'm saying I'm old, but when I first started coaching, I was very much in the minority as far as being a female head coach. And now there's a lot, you know, which is great. You know, great to see at the high school level around here, and at the college level as well.
So. Yeah, that's a great thing to touch on, because again, speaking of old, when I see players that I broadcast their games, mm-hmm, and they come back and are now coaching, mm-hmm, at the varsity level, to me, it doesn't get any better. Whether they're coaching at their alma mater or not, it's just so great to see that, hey, they enjoyed the game so much, they learned, they took, mm-hmm, as a player, but now they're ready to give back.
Right, right. That's been, I mean, that's been a huge thing that I've noticed. Like I said, I just remember being very much in the minority as far as being a female head coach. And then it's just evolved. And now, you know, I don't know what the numbers are exactly, but I know it's definitely changed.
There's a lot more.
Yeah, there's a lot more. Definitely a lot more.
Speaking of your coaching career, you started actually at Mount Lebanon, mm-hmm, and then you came back home to take over at Chartiers Houston. 20 years now. That was 2004, I think, right?
Yeah. My first year back here was 2004.
Wow.
So this is year 21, I guess, technically.
And you're teaching, mm-hmm, we'll say 20th season, since obviously 2020 got wiped away. You're teaching in the school district as well. So, you know, I would imagine a lot of times coaches get asked, especially coaches who have had so much success at smaller schools, hey, would you ever, you know, take a coaching job in a bigger school district? But it's, knowing you, I think you are very, very happy at the alma mater.
Yeah, I am. I am. I'm happy there. And obviously much easier to coach where you're teaching. I did that too, where it was, you know, you were teaching somewhere else and trying to coach in another school. And it's really, really difficult to do. But we enjoy, you know, being here. And that's why I came back. I just really, you know, wanted to come back and give back to the program, and the program means a lot to me.
Sure.
As because of our success when we went through, and just trying to keep that tradition going and, you know, see what happens. And I wasn't able to, I mean, there wasn't anything beyond college. You know, I mean, there is now, but for the very, very, very elite. Yeah. And I certainly wouldn't have been at that level. But the only way to stay involved in the sport was to coach. Yeah. And I love the game. I mean, I'm always watching softball on TV. I'm always watching it online, whether it's high school, college. I really, really love it.
You're addicted to the game, and there's nothing wrong with that. You've been excellent for it, going back as we started as a player, now as a coach. Before we start specifically talking about this year's squad and the great success that they are enjoying, it amazes me, and I don't want to turn this into a boundary, non-boundary thing, but as a public school, a small public school, the incredible success that you guys have had, in that the Buccaneers are a contender each and every year. Now, I don't want to remind you, it's been a dozen years since you won it all, but, but you guys are in it. And again, a legit contender each and every postseason. How does that happen? How does a small school, you know, really have so much success year in and year out as players come, players go in one specific sport?
I think it's just the kids want to be involved in it. And I think they see the
and younger keep girls. Up that winning tradition, I guess, as well.
Yeah, the younger girls see the older girls playing and they want to be out on that field. And I mean, we have lately, you know, we have nieces of former players or daughters of former players, again, showing my age. And I think it just, I don't know, it just all comes full circle. It's, you know, it's fun. And there's just a lot of family involved. There's just a lot of family involved, you know, so it's, I think it's important. And we started coaching our junior high team. Oh gosh, four or five years ago. They moved our junior high team to the fall, which has been great. So it's kind of cool because we have the girls, some of the girls in class as fifth graders, you know, they're 10 or 11. And then we see them again when they're in seventh and eighth, you know, and then all the way through high school. So it's kind of cool to see them evolve.
8 straight wins for Chartiers Houston, perfect in Section 2 Class A with an 8-0 record. You guys have scored a lot of runs and yet yielded very, very few. It's a healthy combination. What has been the key and who have been some of the standout players in this year's talented group?
Well, obviously, it all starts on the mound with Meadow Ferry, and she's a junior and she's just gotten better every single year. So seeing her development from freshman to sophomore to junior has been fantastic. And she's been dominating at times, and she's worked really she's worked really hard to do that. And just in general, from last year to this year, we feel like we have a better defense and a better offense 1 through 9. Not to mention we have more players this year. So last year we only had 11 girls on our roster, and most of the time we were at 9 or 10 kids at a game because of injuries or illness or things happening. So this year we have 15 girls, and 8 of them are freshmen. They all came through our junior high program, you know, and they're coming up through. So I think that's helped a lot. So we've really had contributions from everybody, but of course in fast pitch softball, it all starts on the mound. So, you know, Meadow has done an unbelievable job for us.
Yeah. And part of this 8-game win streak, as I mentioned, 6 shutouts she has thrown. And also part of this 6-game win streak, what is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games in which you guys have scored double-digit runs. You're making her job a lot easier by producing the offense.
Yeah, and like I said, it's been different kids almost every game.
That's great.
You know, yeah. Which last year we had to rely just on a few kids at the top of the order, and we knew that going in. We just weren't as strong. And this year we've had production from the top, from the middle, from the bottom. At different times, and I guess the good thing is that it all hasn't happened at the same time yet, and I hopefully that will happen as well. But we have so much more depth and options, which has been really something that we were craving, you know, because we really didn't have that last year.
Yeah, and that makes a big difference.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously the top of our order, we have Ella Ritchie batting first, and you know, she's a junior, she's a 3-year starter. So she's a catalyst at the top of the lineup. And Lauren Rush bats second. I have my same top 4 hitters from last year. So Ella Ritchie, Lauren Rush, Meadow Ferry, and Shauna Riggle. So those 4 were the same top 4 from last year who all had very good years. And they're back, and then adding in, you know, some other kids who who started last year or played last year, and then sprinkling in freshmen. You know, at times we're starting three, sometimes four freshmen. And we really haven't used, I mean, I'd have to go back and look, but I don't think we've used the same exact lineup offensively or defensively, like two games in a row. Like, I mean, there are obviously consistencies, but, you know, sometimes somebody's doing something in practice and we're like, hey, they're going to match up well against this team or this pitcher. And, you know, they come in. Sometimes we use a DP, sometimes we don't. We have options to pinch hit, to pinch run, to courtesy run. Like, and again, those were things that we didn't have last year. So we were really looking forward to this freshman class coming in just to give us that depth.
Yeah.
And give us the options. And then obviously our kids from last year all got a decent amount of experience and, you know, got some playoff experience as well.
Yep. Awesome. And when you have everybody contributing, that makes your job tough on one hand, but also easy on the other. And it also leads to great success. You guys have three games coming up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, big one Thursday. Mm-hmm. With Carmichael's. I'm not going to ask you about it because I know you guys have that one game at a time mentality. So I'm not going to ask you to look ahead, but I am going to ask you to just talk about, you know, your section and, you know, with Carmichael's, West Green, two traditional powers, Jefferson, Morgan, Mapletown having some success, and also Class A in general. You have Jeanette Frazier finally getting to play each other in Section 3 for the top spot. They'll play each other twice coming up in the next week. And then, you know, Union appears to be the crown jewel again, looking for a third straight championship.
Yeah. I mean, I think Class A is strong. I think our section, I mean, I haven't seen all the teams in the other sections, but I think our section is fairly strong. Like I do. I think we have good pitching, even, you know, some of the teams that may not be winning as much. They may be struggling a little bit more defensively, but, you know, teams have some decent pitching that we're seeing, which is good, and good pitching too. I mean, obviously, but I like some of the teams that maybe aren't winning as much still have some decent pitching going on. So that's to, I think, everybody's advantage in our section. And, you know, obviously, you know, Carmichael's is a great team and West Green is a great team. You know, Jeff Morgan is young and they have a good freshman pitcher, and Mapletown, we just played them and they have a nice team. They have a really nice defense, and you know, so it's good yeah. to see good pitching. And I'm not sure about all the other sections. Union is the team to beat until somebody knocks them off, and that's, you know, that's understandable. That's the way it is. And not, you know, Frazier's always good, you know, and always at the top. So it's similar to last year. So we'll see, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. You know, the depth of your section is going to make those teams that do qualify. I think it's going to help them when they're playing. So. It might not help them against Union
too, because they're seeing good, you know, everyone in our section.
Right.
Pitching. So when you're facing Varniak or Ferry, and you know, the girl from West Green, the girl from Jeff Morgan, when you're seeing them two times a year and then you're getting ready for the playoffs, it's obviously helpful for your team. So, you know, we hope that helps us out as well. And our kids luckily get to see good pitching in practice, you know, not just for Meadow, but we have a couple other very good backups, you know, that pitch in practice. So they're seeing good pitching all the time.
I thought you were going to say when you take the.
No. No. My arm would fall off. I don't think I'd be able to work. I'd be able to write.
Always enjoy the time chatting with you, Tricia. You and your husband Dan do a tremendous job, and the folks in the Chartiers Houston School District have a lot to be proud of with what you guys do each and every year, and again this year as one of the top teams in WPIL softball. Finish strong, and hopefully we'll see you in the postseason.
Yeah, we really appreciate you recognizing our team, and you know, hopefully we'll see you guys down the line somewhere.
Excellent. Thank you, Tricia.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Tricia Alderson, head coach at Chartiers Houston, Hall of Fame, not coach, player. And eventually I think she's going to be a Hall of Fame as a coach too, with the great things she's done. Now 20th season, 21 years at Chartiers Houston, her alma mater. She led them to a couple of championships, and she probably is going to hate me saying this, but 1987, 1988. And she has coached them to five WPIAL championships. The last one in 2012. So they're due for another one. All right, let's talk about what's going on in single A, 2A, and 3A. We did 4A, 5A, 6A in our softball player of the week podcast, which you can check out on HSSN. All right, section two, Chartiers Houston, one game lead over Carmichael. It's a big matchup coming up Thursday with the Mighty Mikes. West Green is in third place. They are a game ahead of Jefferson Morgan. The Rockets are a game ahead of Mapletown. That's section two. Section three, Jeanette Frazier, they've yet to play each other. They're both undefeated, combined 18-0 overall, 17-0 in the section. They will play each other on Monday. They will play each other again the following Monday to decide section three. Logjam in the battle for fourth place. You got Riverview, Manesson, Leechburg, Bishop Canavan, all in the hunt. Section one, Union, two-time defending champs on top, 11-0, one game up in the loss column over Southside, but they just hammered the Rams, I think, last week and play them again coming up. Northgate currently in third place, and the battle for fourth place, two teams right now currently tied in the loss column. That's Carleton and Cornell. All right, let's go to Class 2A. Section 1, undefeated, Neshanic, 13-0 overall. They're 10-0 in the section, and they have clinched at least a share of the section title. They're two up on Laurel. Shenango sits in third place, and Riverside in fourth place. Section 2, top four teams make it to the playoffs, oh, by the way. Section 2, Sarah Catholic on top. They have a nice two-game cushion. They have clinched a share of the section title. A two-game cushion over Apollo Ridge, Greensburg Central Catholic. It sits in third place, Steel Valley in fourth place. Section three, Bentworth on top. The Bearcats, a one-game lead over Our Lady of the Sacred Heart. Sitting in third place is Charleroi. And right now in the loss column, fourth place is Beth Center. One up in the loss column over Burgettstown. And finally, in Class 3A, Section 1, Avonworth, two games up in the loss column on three teams, Deer Lakes, Borough, Freeport. They're all jammed with three section losses. Avonworth with only one section loss. Those four teams, Antelopes, Lancers, Buccaneers, and Yellow Jackets, have all clinched a playoff berth. Section 2, Mohawk is on top, and they have themselves a nice two-game cushion over both Elwood City and Central Valley in the loss column. Then a big chasm. Right now, sitting in fourth place is Hopewell, a game up on Quaker Valley. Section 3 of 3A, Ligonier Valley and Southmoreland are even in the loss column. They are one game up on York, two games up on Mount Pleasant, and in Section 4, it's South Park. Perfect in the section at 8-0. They've clinched at least a share of the section title. They're two up on McGuffey. Right now, third place belongs to Waynesburg Central, and a two-way tie for fourth place currently, Brownsville and Seton LaSalle. All right, thanks to Tricia Alderson of Chartiers Houston, our softball team of the week. Thanks to Chris Lackner, our producer, who is headed on a questionably deserved vacation. No, much deserved vacation. Jess Leva will be pinch hitting for him while he's gone for our player and team of the week baseball softball podcast next weekend. I'm Don Rebel. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy all the action. The weather should cooperate. So 2 weeks left in the regular season. Well, about a week and a half left in the regular season. Keep it here. The Trib Live High School Sports Network.